God, please, in your Bible tonight, one more time back to the 1 Kings chapter number 17. 1 Kings and chapter number 17 in the Word of God. We'll read our text tonight and then do our best to bring the message that the Lord has laid upon our heart for this night. 1 Kings and chapter number 17. And I want to begin reading in verse number 17. 17. All right. See somebody waving at me back there. And that talk, that means when they wave at you from that little booth, it means you don't, either you don't have this thing on or you don't have it on. And so I'm going to put it on and turn it on. That way I've got it on both ways. Okay. And I'm easy to forget that thing. And, you know, I don't know how many of churches, since their pastor's been through here and seen these little mics that we have. Of course, I got the idea from Brother Nolan, I think, or Brother Matthias one. And then people that come through here, everybody that come through, they seem like they've seen this, and then the next time you go to their church, they got one of them. And they're about the best, I believe, that we've had. Well, we've had this for years, and it's still hanging right in there for us. And I thank God for it. It's much handier to know what you clip on your clip. It wouldn't be so bad if they didn't get in the way of your pistol. But, if you get a handgun on, it's kind of rough getting them on over there. And you don't want to have to be troubled with that. Amen. All right. 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse number 17. The Bible said, "And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to repentance and to slay my son? And he said unto her, Give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived." I want to pause right there and remind you that this prophet's name is Elijah, not Oral Roberts.
Amen.
Okay? It said in verse 23, "And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, See, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth." Now may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Let's go to him in a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful, Lord, for the evening hour, the good testimonies, the good songs, how they bless my heart, the good fellowship, prayer time. Thank you, Lord, for listening to being able to listen to the choir sing again tonight as they practice. I thank you, Lord, for the privilege we have to preach the gospel tonight. I pray your divine power and presence will manifest itself in this place, regenerating the hearts of sinners, refreshing, blessing, and helping the people of God. Help us to clearly expound, Lord, that which you've laid upon our heart. Fill us with the Spirit of God, with wisdom and power. I pray that sinners will be saved now, and souls will be helped and blessed. God's people will be refreshed, and we'll thank you for all that you do. For we ask it in Jesus' name, for his sake we pray. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. All right, I want to preach again tonight on the same thought as I did this morning. Elijah meets the widow, and you can title this part two, Brother Robert. Elijah meets the widow. And, I said in the morning hour that Elijah had been called to the Lord down to go to the brook Cherith because there was a famine in the land. There was a drought where there was no water, and there was a famine when there was no food. And But God sent Elijah down to the brook and fed him there by the ravens morning and night that flew over and brought him bread and flesh to eat. And the Bible said he drank from the water of the brook. But the commandment soon came to Elijah to depart from that place. The brook, the Bible said, the brook dried up. And God called Elijah and sent him down to Zarephath. And the word Zarephath means a furnace. It's a place of purifying, a furnace where they purify gold. It's a place of purification. And so God sends him down to this furnace, and an iron furnace, we might say. And you'd think right off that God is again testing the faith of Elijah. But when you read further into this chapter, you'll find that Elijah had already proved his faith. When God called him to go to the brook Cherith, he never wobbled on the axle one minute. He never one time argued with the Lord. He never fussed about where God was sending him, although he knew it'd be a lonely place. Now, if that had been probably myself, I'd have probably argued a little while about having to endure the loneliness of being there. No friends to talk to. And just no fellowship at all. And I may have argued with the Lord a little bit in my prayer time, but Elijah didn't do that. He just picked up what little bit he had and headed down to the brook Cherith. And when it dried up and the ravens failed to fly overhead with bread and flesh in the morning and evening, the word of the Lord came unto Elijah again, told him to get down to Zarephath. And so without quibbling again, he went to Zarephath. God told him that I've commanded a widow woman down there to sustain thee. But when Elijah gets there, he finds this widow woman in the gate of the city, and it says the widow. It doesn't say a widow. He found the widow in the gate of the city, and Elijah calls to her to bring him a drink of water. And she begins to leave, and he said, called her back and said, by the way, said, on your way back, said, bring me a little cake in your hand. And the lady makes this statement. She said, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, she said, I don't have but just a little meal in a barrel and some oil in a cruse, and I'm gathering these two sticks. I'm going to dress them. I'm going to make a couple of cakes, and me and my boy are going to die. And Elijah tells her, said, well, you go do as you've been told, but said, first, bring me a little cake in the hand and a morsel of water, and then you and your son. And the women did that, and the woman did that. And Elijah told her, said, that the meal in the barrel is not going to waste, and the oil in the cruse is not going to fail until the Lord sends rain upon the earth. Amen. Now, as I said a moment ago, we'd think that it was Elijah that God was taking down to that furnace to teach him greater depths of faith in the Lord Jesus. But as I studied this, I found that it wasn't Elijah's faith that's in question here, not at all. But it is the woman at Zarephath. It's her faith that is brought into question. Apparently, she never even realized that the Lord had commanded her to sustain Elijah. For she was making two cakes, one for her and one for her boy. And she was prepared to eat those and die. Had she had sustaining grace and had understanding from the Lord, she'd have known without a doubt that God was going to deliver her. And I don't believe that she would have been so ready-minded to explain to Elijah what she was getting ready to do. She would have just obeyed him and went on about her business. But nevertheless, the Bible said that the barrel of meal wasted not and the oil of cruse didn't fail. But there came a time after Elijah had been there a while, the Bible says, it came to pass and after these things that the son of the mistress of the house fell sick. And that boy's sickness was so bad that he died. And this woman could not understand that. Here's why I say again that her faith is very weak. She said, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Have you come down here to call my sins to remembrance and slay my son? And Elijah told her, said, give me thy son.
And she did that. And Elijah went up into a loft and prayed three times over that boy. And the Bible said that his life came into him again. His soul came. And the Bible said it revived. And Elijah took him down out of that loft to his mother and handed him to his mother and said, "See, thy son liveth." Now, I don't know. It's not in the text, but I believe they had camp meeting. I know if that was my boy and God had raised him up from the dead, that I'd had myself a shouting spell. I believe that. Not only would I have a shouting spell, but there'd have been enough snot on the wall that you could have slid on it, and there'd been enough tears in my eyes to fill up a 55-gallon drum. And I believe Elijah and that woman have a camp meeting together, and I wouldn't be at all surprised the lad didn't get in on a little of it himself. Somebody said, "Well, do you believe children ought to get in on the worship?" Well, if a child has been raised from the dead, and that is really a picture of him being quickened by the power of God, I think he might have rejoiced a little bit with them also. The Bible doesn't say how old the boy was. He probably was not 2 or 3 years old. He may have been a young teenager for all we know. But I believe the three of them together had themselves a camp meeting right there. And then, of course, Elijah went on his way. I want to mention two things tonight about this widow. I mentioned this morning, I talked about Elijah. I want to mention two things tonight about this widow. First of all, I want to mention the great tragedy. The great tragedy. Here she is and things are going her way. I mean, she's got food to eat. God has sustained her day by day. She is seeing the miracle working hand of God. And God is sustaining her day by day. Not week by week nor month by month, but day, one day at a time. We used to sing that song, "One day at a time, dear Jesus." And God does supply our needs one day at a time. Like He did the manna, God supplies our grace one day at a time. Our help one day at a time. Our blessings one day at a time. Hey folks, it's like a preacher said recently, you know why that we've not experienced dying grace yet? Because it's not come our time to die. When it comes our time to die, we will experience dying grace, but not until then. We know nothing about dying grace. Now, I don't, neither do you, because it hadn't come our time to die. But if we're saved by the grace of God, when it comes our time to die, we will understand what it means to have dying grace. And there's a lot of other graces that God gives. You can have family problems and family troubles. And you never understand why it may be going on, but I'm going to tell you, God will give you the grace you need in that hour. Not before that time, not after that time, but right exactly on time. Is God not on time every time? I preached that to you a lot. God's on time every time. He's never early, never late. He's always right on time, and He was with this woman. But there's a great tragedy. The Bible said that that young boy fell sick, and his sickness was so bad that he died. Now, why? Why did that young lad die? That's a big question. Why did he die? May I say to you, that is the very reason Elijah was at Zarephath. God knew that boy was going to die. Somebody said, "Now, preacher, come on, you're getting ahead of yourself." No, I'm just right up front where God's at. If you don't believe God knew what was going to happen before Elijah ever got there, you don't know much about the Bible. But God knew that boy was going to die. And God knew that woman did not have enough grace nor enough faith to make it through that trial without the divine help of Almighty God. And so God sends Elijah down there, not for Elijah's sake, but for that widow's sake. That she, through him, might receive everything that she needs to help her in that time in her particular life. And you know, isn't it strange how God sends somebody by right at that time in your life? Boy, I'll tell you, I've had phone calls in there, and I've had people to tell me, "Preacher, I'm telling you that I was driving down the road, and I was so low I couldn't tie my shoes. I couldn't get down there to lace my shoes." And said, "I heard a message preached on WSOF or I heard a song sang on WSOF and said it was right at the right time. God sent it right as exactly at the right time. And buddy, it lifted my spirit and blessed my soul and helped me make it through the day. You know why? One day at a time, God helped us through that. And God sent Elijah down there to help that woman one day at a time, because God knew that that woman did not have enough grace or enough faith in her own life to make it through that trial on her own. There had to be, there had to be a change made in her life. That's right. I personally, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, I personally believe the woman was a lost woman. And I'm going to tell you something. Lost people don't have, they don't have enough faith. They don't have any faith. They don't have any grace. So how can they depend on the grace and help of God if they don't possess it? That's exactly why God sent Elijah down there. And I'm going to think I'm going to prove it to you in just a moment. I can tell the way some of you are looking, you don't believe that. But that great tragedy, why? Well, this woman, I think, is like Cornelius. I know you've read the story about Cornelius in chapter number 10 of the book of Acts. Cornelius was a well-known man, and a man that helped the Jews there in that city. He had built them a temple, and I mean, he gave to them and helped them, and he was gave alms to the people, and he was just a very generous sort of a man. And God sent old Peter. I mean, this was a religious man. He was praying. He was praying. And God sent an angel and said, Cornelius, thy prayers have come up before God, and God has answered your prayer. Said, you send for a man by the name of Peter. He's lodging up on Joppa, and said at Simon the Tanner's house, and said, you go up there and send for him and gather all your, get this now. He said, and gather all your family together. Isn't God wonderful? Here's a man that is under conviction of God, is lost and needs to get saved. God not only planning on saving Cornelius, but God tells Cornelius, you go get Peter, that man of God. He'll tell you everything that you need to know. And by the way, Cornelius, while you send for him, get all your family together, because they need to hear exactly what I'm going to hear as well. I'm going to tell you, I thank God for that. Hey, you're looking at a man that believes God works in families. I saw God in 1996 work in one particular family in this church in a big way. And brother, I'm going to tell you something. What they got still with them today. Amen. They're still serving God today. That family is. Yes, sir. Why God worked in that family and that in that meeting. Amen. And transformed their lives by the good grace of God. Amen. Now, that widow is like Cornelius. That woman honored and served the Lord. But like Cornelius, they only knew of him. They had never enjoyed the fullness of his salvation. They had never enjoyed the fullness of his salvation. Now I'm telling you folks, shame be on people all over America. There's people like that all across America in our Baptist churches. They serve. They honor God with their tithes. They labor in the house of God. But they got one problem. They don't have the saving grace that's needed to help them in an hour of need like this woman was about to face. I'm telling you that there's going to come a time in your life and in my life that we're going to have enough faith to believe God for some things, and we're going to have enough grace from God, amen, to see us through those things. And if you don't have that saving grace of God, you're going to fall by the way. Amen. Come on now. Shake your heads up and down. Say amen. But she's like Cornelius. They honored God and they served God, but they didn't know God. That's tragic. That's tragic. I've seen people in this church that's left here, maybe some here now, that I believe fit in the same category. How tragic it is that they serve God and honor God and talk like loving God, but they don't have the saving faith that's needed to get them to heaven. Amen. And they don't have enough grace to get them through trouble. You let trouble come and they fall to pieces. Come on in the house. Now, I'm just telling you that we're going to have broken hearts over things that happen in our life. But hey, we don't have to fall to pieces over it. God will give us enough grace. to hold us together and hold us in place that we can make it through that particular time in our life. Brother, I'm telling you, I remember when Lisa got married. I've told you this. She got married and we drove off from Maryville, Tennessee, and she's sitting in the car with him. She's going, and I said to myself, how in heaven's name? I told Miss Hall, I said, how can she be so happy leaving with that idiot? We got to West Memphis, Arkansas, and I broke down and went to crying. Then he said, Mama, why is Daddy crying? And Mama said, oh, he's just crying about something. You know something? Benny's got five reasons he'll find out one of these days if God doesn't come back while Daddy was crying. And some of y'all in here is coming to you, I'm telling you. Now, I'm telling you, it's hard enough for them to walk out of the house. Are you listening? Hard enough for them to walk out of the house when they're marrying somebody that's just going to live right there in the area where you're at. But, honey, when they're marrying somebody that you're driving away from, you're going to be 2,000 miles away from them, and you don't know when you're going to see them again. I'm telling you that, hey, you're going to have some grace in your heart to get through those kind of times. I'll guarantee you on that. Now, and so this widow woman, it was like Cornelius. She honored God and served the Lord, but she only knew about Him. She didn't know Him personally. I won't say secondly. Somehow, this great truth of unmerited grace must be conveyed to her understanding. But how? Unmerited grace. If you think you deserve it, honey, I'm going to tell you something. You're dumber than a box of rocks tonight. There's not a one of us in here tonight that deserves the grace of God. Now, I'm going to tell you why a lot of people die and go to hell. They honestly believe that they're good enough in their life that they deserve God doing for them what they're doing, what God's doing. But I'm going to tell you, there's not a one of us in here tonight that deserves the grace of God. If God, we got what we deserve, we'd all be in hell tonight. Hey, and this woman somehow had to receive this great unmerited grace. It must be conveyed to her understanding, but how? May I say to you, by two invisible guests. There's two people in this story that you don't see. They're invisible. And they're not seen in the story. They're not mentioned in the story. But one of them was the Lord that visited her home. And the other one was the Holy Ghost that visited her heart. Stay right with me. I'm going to say several things and try to put it all together. Hey, the one inflicts the blow and the other expounds it. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, hey, the one inflicted the blow that took the life of the son that she could not understand why God would take that boy. But thank God, hey, although the Lord took that boy's life, there's a Holy Ghost there that's conveying a truth to her heart and enlightening her and giving her understanding and letting her know that God took that boy that she might escape the damnation of hell and the torments of hell by the grace of God. That's exactly right. I know what I'm talking about. Thank you, Brother Hurford. I appreciate that. And I mean that. I do. But one would inflict the blow, and the other would expound upon it. In other words, the one slays the son, and the other causes her to understand why, that she might know herself. This woman didn't know herself. She thought everything was all right in her heart. But I'm telling you, hey, this is the giveaway statement right here. Have you come to slay my son? Have you come to call? Listen, have you come to call my sin to remembrance by slaying my son? That's the verse that gives it away. Have you come to slay my son and then call my sin to remembrance by slaying my son? Oh, I'm going to tell you. Now the one slays her son and the other causes her to understand why, that she may know more about herself. I'm going to tell you, I believe she suddenly come to a realization that she was lost and undone and without God. And I believe she'll come to understand why God sent Elijah down to her house. Hey, there, listen folks, come on in the house now, boys and girls. The New Testament said there was many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, but he went to one widow, just one. Now you call me whatever you want to call me, but God searches the hearts and God tries the reins, buddy. And God knew that that woman was ready to be born again. God knew that the Holy Ghost was working in her heart. That woman was ready to be born again. Now, I'm going to tell you the only reason Elijah went to Zarephath. Amen. Hey, she's the one in the fire. Elijah's not in the fire. This woman's in the fire. Elijah didn't lose a son. This woman lost a son. This woman is the one that's being tried. Not Elijah. Not Elijah. And one of them, the Lord, slayed her son. Somebody said, no, I don't believe God do that. Then you don't understand the Bible. And the other caused her to understand why. One inflicted the blow, and the other one expounded it. One visited her home, the other visited her heart. The Lord visited her home and took the son. And the Holy Ghost visited her heart and passed it all up again by delivering her and saving her. Now listen carefully. This may seem to be a very cruel method that God uses, but at times the only way the Lord can bring repose to a sinner is by bringing affliction upon them, thus bringing sin to remembrance. That sinner may be effectually awakened and made alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on in now. Let me put that all together. Hey, God had to bring that affliction in her life to awaken her to her need. I'm going to tell you something, folks. As long as we're people are laid back on their leaves and they've got things going their way, everything's easy going and smooth sailing, and I mean, hey, and this, I'm going to tell you, ain't not many people going to get saved. Praise God, it not do America good to have a good economy crunch. We ain't seen an economy crunch yet. It might do our country good to go down the drain just a little bit financially, where people would have to pray down their meal again and their oil again like they did here. Are you listening to me? So I said, oh, surely, preacher, you don't believe that. Oh, yes, I do. I'm telling you, as long as people are in smooth sailing, they're not going to call on God. But the first thing that woman done when she lost that boy was get concerned about her life. Now I'm telling you, there's not many people today that are actually concerned about their own lives, how they're living, where they're going to spend eternity. They're just not aware of that. They're not aware of it. And I'm going to tell you somehow God's going to have to make them aware of it. I've said many times that God may have to put some people on their back. So the only way they can look is up. To come to God. Somebody said, now preacher, I don't believe that. Oh, you better believe that. I've seen it over and over again. Amen. Brother, I'll tell you, God put His hand on somebody and put them in a squeeze. Bear down on them. Hey, look here. And notice God did not touch her. God touched the apple of her eye. God put His hand on the boy, not her. Now I'm going to tell you, are you listening to me, everybody in here tonight? That's saved by the grace of God, every adult in here, you know, as well as you know your living, exactly where the apple of your eye is at. You know what God can touch in your life and bring you to your knees in a minute, friend. Are you listening to me? You know, and I know, there's men that realize that their wife, they wouldn't know what to do if God put His hand on their wife. There's women that wouldn't know how to take it if God put His hand on their husband. And there's husbands and wives that wouldn't know how they would take it if God put their hand on their child. Somebody said, oh, God wouldn't do that. I'm telling you, God did do that. What makes you think God won't do that again or can't do that again or won't do it again? I tell you, if God takes a notion, and if that's the only way that God can get you in, I'll tell you, God will do it. God can do it. Amen. You better believe He can. Amen. That's right. Yes, folks, today I'm telling you, they got some of the silliest ideas and thoughts and notions running through their mind that I've ever seen in all my life. As long, bless God, they got a refrigerator full of food and a pantry full of food, a little bit of money in the bank, driving around in an automobile that runs pretty good, they feel like everything's going just fine. But I'm going to tell you, hey, God can turn things around in just, as they say, in a New York minute, buddy. I'm telling you, God can turn things around. There was an old boy laid at the gate of a rich man full of sores, and I'm telling you, just in a minute, God took him to heaven. And there was a rich man on the inside that needed nothing. And just in a minute, in the same minute, God took him to hell. I'm telling you, God can change things just in a minute, friend. And don't you think God can't bring you to your ever-loving knees? God can. Now, I'm here to tell you, there's some folks, I've got a feeling right now, it's getting awful quiet, so I've got a feeling there's some folks right here tonight that there's sin in your life, and you know there's sin in your life, and if you don't get it right, buddy, I'm telling you, God can bring you right smack dab to your knees, amen, and get you right if He wants to. He wants to. You better believe it is. People today don't believe that sin's sin anymore. Get by, do anything they want to do. And just as long as they, you know, as long as they don't believe it's sin, it's not sin. Doesn't make a difference what you believe, it's what the book says. Amen. Amen. That's right. You'd be amazed what they're teaching our kids in schools today. Some of you parents in here, I'm telling you, if you knew some of the things they're teaching, you would never let your child ever go to a public school. Never. Never! One of the things they're teaching is that children today, and I don't want to say this. They're teaching today that children can have an affair with another child. I'm talking about having contact with another child without ever having that physical relationship that they're supposed to have after they get married. And kids all over America is practicing it and playing it. And I can tell you what it was. I won't say it. You can use your imagination a little bit. You know exactly what I'm talking about. And they're telling kids that that's not sin. That that's not sex. But I'm telling you, according to the Bible, son, that is. They impeached the president because of it. And bless your heart, if they impeached the president because of it, it's sin. I'll say what Brother Brown said. It's sin, 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 sin. I don't give a flip what you believe. Amen. That's right. Better believe it is. You don't believe it? Come and ask me and I'll tell you again. Amen. I'm telling you, and people are so blinded and benighted that they really believe that they can sin like that and get by with it and God not put His hand on them. I'm telling you, friend, God will put His hand on you somewhere down the road. Payday's not always Friday with God. Amen. Now, I know in marriage, the Bible said that the marriage is honorable alone and the bed undefiled. But I'm not talking about marriage. I'm talking about fornication. I'm talking about high schoolers and college students. I'm talking about fornication. I'm telling you, friend, our churches are filled up with people that are having fornication and believing it's all right to have it. I'm telling you, it's not all right to have it. And God will judge a crowd like that. And God can't put His hand on somebody that's near to you to wake you up. Help you see yourself for what you are. S-I-N-N-E-R. Say amen or old me, it don't make a bit of difference to me. I'm not preaching for popularity no more. I'm not preaching for a paycheck. That's right. I'm preaching because God called me to preach. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, God had to do something that a sinner may be effectually awakened. Now, I catch that little word, effectually. Now, you can call me whatever you want to call me. But I believe there is an effectual call. A call that affects a person. Some people think they've been called. I'm talking about the salvation. There's a lot of preachers that think they've been, that claim to be preachers, think they've been called to preach. They've been called to get saved. There is an effectual call. I'm talking about a call from God that will effectually work in a person's heart and awaken them. And there is a deceptive call, amen, from the devil. I'm telling you here, that will even blind your eyes greater to sin by making you a religious person without God in your life, just exactly like this woman was, religious but lost and without God and without hope, amen. And if God hadn't showed mercy on her by sending Elijah down there, she'd be frying in hell today, but thank God, by the grace of God, God sent along an old leather-lined preacher to preach the gospel to her that she might hear the word of God and be born again. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Now, can you never convince me old Elijah didn't get down and preach a little bit to that widow woman? Amen. Because he was born again by the grace of God. Amen. That's right. You better make sure, friend. We're that close. You better make sure. I said this morning, I'll say it again tonight, God's not playing games. God doesn't run a circus. For a sideshow, amen. God doesn't run a bowling alley or a, what's that one thing? Bingo! He don't run bingo parlors. He don't run a place of relaxation. Somebody said, well, I come to church to relax. You ought to come to church to get the Word of God. God's not running none of these places. God's not running a theater house, a swimming pool. God's running a church. Amen. I tell you, we've forgotten what the church is about. It's a place to preach. It's a place to worship. It's a place to raise our families and get them on that solid rock I was singing about a while ago. It's a place to get our kids under the blood of Christ. Hallelujah to God. Now I'm telling you, I believe you get them saved and train them up in the way they ought to go. When they are old, they will not depart from it. That's the Bible. You can say amen or amen. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you what, the public schools are teaching the mess. Amen. And I'm telling you, some of the so-called Christian schools ain't any better. That's right. Say amen or oh me. I'm proud of our people. Some of you got programs you're teaching your children at home, and I think that's ideal. Some of you can't afford it the way it's done. I say this, don't think I'm singling out nobody, but Mrs. Rickard has told me how they teach their boys and what program they use and things. And it's a good program. They teach them right there at home. Amen. You can't improve on it. Second best is what we've got here as far as I'm concerned. I really believe that with all my heart. Amen. Oh, I can't imagine that. You're looking at a man that went through school. I once was young. Believe it or not. Now, Brother Chuck back there don't believe it. He said something in there today. I said, tonight about something or another, and he said, Lord, he said, did they have cars back when you was a boy? I mean, he thinks I'm over the hill. Lord, help. I'm not completely over the hill. I'm getting gray, but so is Brother Troy, and he ain't over the hill. And Brother Jerome's been gray ever since I've known him, and he ain't over the hill yet. And I could name some other folks in here. I won't mention their names. Quit scratching your head, bud. You one of them. Amen. Brother Leroy turned a little gray. But he ought to. How old are you, Brother Leroy? 69. What about that? 70 next June. He's got a little gray hair in his temples, hasn't he? Boy, I'll tell you, I'm just telling you what. I want you to listen to me. It's good to grow old. It's the most wonderful thing. I don't know how I'm got on this, but it's wonderful to grow old. A man and woman grow old together. There ain't nothing any sweeter than that. I tell you what, Doug and Lisa's at the house yesterday and had the grandchildren over there. And Brother Doug put that little building together I bought. Went and got the lumber for it yesterday and built the platform, a little old plastic building I bought to put a few things in. It'll hold a few of my things out of the garage. He put it together, and they all left the house. When they left, me and Miss Hall were sitting there. And I said, well, they're all gone again. She said, yeah, they're gone again. I said, what are we going to do one of these days when they walk out and we know they're not coming back? She just sat there. I said, I know what I'm going to do, cry. Are you listening to me? Thank God, God gives us gray hair. And God lets us grow old. And I want to live just as long as God wants me to live. I mean that. And I want to live with my family as long as God will let me live with them. Even Doug. I don't know. That's hard to do. But
amen.
No, I'll tell you. God's blessed me with a good family. And God's blessed me with a good church. I mean that. You may not believe it or not, but you're looking at a man that loves you, friend.
Amen.
You may think I don't love you, but I love you. If I didn't love you, I wouldn't tell it to you like I do. But I'm going to tell it to you straight. I ain't cutting no corners. Do you think Jesus cut any corners?
No.
He never cut one. He was no respecter of persons. He didn't cut one corner. He didn't pull up short on nobody. The whole crowd, he preached the same message, whether they were rich or poor, old or young. He preached the same message to men and women right on down the line. That is exactly right. Now, I want to mention this. I want to mention the recovery of the child and the faith of the woman. And I'll be done in just a minute. The woman's distress. This woman got in real distress. When I say distress, not knowing. Hey, I don't think she knew what grieved her heart the most. Whether she wept the most over the loss of her child or wept the most over her sin.
Amen.
There's no doubt both of them was involved because she said, she made this statement. And she said unto Elijah, what about to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and slay my son? Both of them, there they are, sin and the boy. And there's no doubt about that. Both of them broke her heart. She was broken over the sin. She was broken over the boy. And what's running through her mind now is my boy is dead and I'm lost. And what am I going to do? What's going to happen? Where am I going to in life from here? Oh, I'm not ready to jump over the top and somebody catch me. I'm going to tell you, hey, God already had a plan in motion. Amen. God already had a plan in motion. You don't have to believe that, but I'm telling you, God put the plan in motion before you ever knew it. Amen. God had a plan for your life before He ever brought you into the world. Oh, hallelujah to God. I'm glad that God had a plan for you and me before He ever brought us into this world. And God knew exactly what He was going to do. Exactly. No doubt about it. But she's a weeping over the loss of that boy, and she's a weeping over her sin. But she has a ray of hope. Can you see her sitting in a rocking chair, and this boy is beginning to get stiff? And his lips are turning blue, and she's closed his little eyes. She's sitting there holding that boy. She looks up at Elijah and said, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Have you come to slay my boy? And then to call my sin to repentance, to remembrance on top of that. But here's a ray of hope. Elijah said, give me thy son! Woo-wee! I'm going to tell you, when that man of God said, give me thy son, she said, he must know something I don't know. He might have heard from somebody I ain't heard from. And he had. He knew somebody she didn't know. He had heard from somebody she had never heard. Hallelujah to God. He said, give me that boy. Amen. Give me that boy. You want to give me that boy. I'll take care of that boy.
Amen.
God, and she gave him that boy. And that woman had a little ray of hope when Elijah took that boy. And Elijah and the child went up into a secret place. The prophet enters into a place where prayer and communion had been made so often with the Lord, who only is able to deliver that child. You know where he took her? Where he took him, brother? He took that boy up to his room, up to a loft, and falls on him three times and begins to pray. But here's what I want you to see in that. That place was his place of communion. That's where he prayed. That was a sanctified and a holy place. Ooh. Hello out there.
Amen.
Listen carefully. The Bible said that the place that he took that boy was up to a loft. You know what a loft is? A loft is a little bit higher. Little a loft. When I was a boy growing up, my Aunt Nellie and them lived up on the hill, and then my daddy lived up there as a boy, and they slept upstairs in the loft. The loft was a little higher than the rest of the house. So what I'm saying is Elijah took that little boy up into the loft and got that boy on high ground, amen. I tell you, that's where all sinners need to go, is the higher ground. Somebody says, where is that higher ground? It's Mount Calvary, thank God. That's higher ground. Go to Mount Calvary. Go to Calvary, ladies and gentlemen. The place of the skull, that's the higher ground where every sinner needs to go to tonight.
Yep.
Amen. And he took him up to that higher place, that loft. And guess who was in that loft? Father was up there. God was up there.
Amen.
We used to be over, go to Sturgis.
Amen.
And what was his name, brother? Brother Sammy. They'd get to testify, and Brother Sammy would say, him, he'd always point, him come. Say, me go. Somebody that kept him in a nursing home said, me go to heaven. Then he'd get to life and say, me go be with Jesus.
Amen.
He always talked about up. Isn't it strange how they always, when you talk about God, they always talk about him being up, 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 lofty place, up, loft, in a place. Do you know of a lofty place that's up? I'll tell you about one. It's called the Holy of Holies.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. That's where God's at. Amen. That's where the priest went into one time a year with blood. Amen. For his own sins and the sins of the people again. Amen. That's exactly right. But Christ entered into that place one time with his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption for us. I'm telling you, he is there in that loft, in that upper place tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, just waiting on Elijah to carry that boy into his presence. God just waiting on that Holy Ghost to carry some of you into that presence. In that holy place. In the presence of God. Now Elijah and the child in the secret place. The prophet enters into that place where prayer and communion has been made. I've done said it's the loft. Hey, now get this. That holy of holies. You know what it really is? Come on, y'all. Stay with me. Now I know I want to be done with this time, but I'm not quite done yet. You know what that loft represents? The Holy of Holies. You know what else it represents? Elijah took that boy up and took him right into the very heart of God.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, yes.
Amen.
Yes, sinner. You need to get in the heart of God. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Amen. That's where the love flows from. Amen. That's where the blood and water come from. Will run out of the heart of God. Amen. And it took the blood. Thank God it took the blood. And when the side was pierced, it took the blood. And it still takes the blood today.
Amen.
But that heart, he got right into the heart of God with that young man. And what a blessing it was. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen to Elijah's boldness. Elijah prayed in verse number 20 and said, and he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou brought evil upon the widow upon whom I sojourned by slaying her son? That's getting pretty bold, ain't it? In other words, he said, what did you kill a boy for? He's getting real bold. But I'm going to tell you what that boldness done. That boldness. He said, hast thou brought evil upon this widow with whom I sojourned to slay her son? I'm going to tell you that's some strong language for Elijah.
Amen.
That is some strong language for Elijah to bring before the throne of God. But the prophet speaks. The prophet speaks, listen now, the prophet speaks as his heart dictates. He didn't just say those words because there was something to be saying. His heart told him to say those words. Yes, God spoke to him and told him to say those words. And so he spoke as his heart dictates. And if he spoke foolishly, he did it in simplicity and faith. What a wonderful God. Now somebody said, now you can't be that bold with God. Oh, is that right? Well, why did a man by the name of Paul say that we can come boldly? Boldly to the throne of God's grace. That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. And I'm telling you something, friend. The thought there is that if you go mealy-mouthing there, you ain't getting nothing. I'm not talking about being irreverent to God. I'm talking about being bold with the promise that God's made us. That we can come there with boldness. Believing that God, if He hears our prayers, He'll answer our prayers. Hey, that's what John said. If He hears their prayers, He's going to answer our prayers. Is that right? Is that right? Is that right? Amen. You know that's right. He hears their prayers, He's going to answer our prayers. Now I'm going to tell you something. He heard Elijah. He heard Elijah. No doubt about it. The manner of Elijah's prayer, his prayer, here is a prayer that is unconditional. He has attached no conditions to it. Here is a prayer that is for something temporal. That's really, you and I see it as spiritual. But it actually was a temporal prayer. Give this boy's life. Let him live again. It was a prayer for a miracle. Lord, I've got to have a miracle from You. It was a prayer without limitations. Buddy, you can't get any more than bringing death to life. No limitations whatsoever. And yet the Lord answered it for Elijah. And He took that boy back downstairs. When He did, I see here the widow's repentance. He said, See, thy son liveth. Here he is. He's still alive. And when she saw that son, she knew that God had forgiven her sin and God had given her boy back to her. And get a hold of this now. That widow repented. She said, now. It's not. What am I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Have you come to call my sin to remembrance for slaying thy son? She didn't say that now. She said, now, by this, I know that you're a man of God. Faith. She begins to believe that He's a real man of God. Hey, the slaying of the child was not necessarily God's delight. Do you think God delighted in killing that little boy? I don't. But I'll tell you one thing. But it was God's way of leading that widow through affliction unto repentance. And I'm going to tell you that God can lead people in here tonight through their affliction to repentance. You better believe it. Ladies and gentlemen, we serve the most wonderful God. We serve the only God. And He is wonderful. Somebody said, how do you know that? Because He said so in His book. He is wonderful. I've been around Him a little bit. I've spent a few years of life with Him. And I'm going to tell you what's greater than that. I'm going to spend all eternity with Him.
Amen.
I'm just getting started, ladies and gentlemen. You that are saved are just getting started. We got a long way to go down the road with the Lord. Better believe it. I remember the day Miss Patty got in. I'd never believed anybody had got saved in the mess we was having going on in here that morning. It was a mess, absolute mess. And yet she got saved. And I could almost look at the situation and say in my heart, by this I know she got in. Amen. Been faithful too. You get somebody in, they'll be faithful. Never give me 1 minute's trouble. Never backtalk me. Never said one thing. Never said one word out of the way to me. As far as I know, she's never criticized me to my face. I'm going to tell you, you can pretty well tell when people get in. You'll see that change, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, that change, boy. And that good mercy of God, Brother Gray. Isn't it wonderful? And we can sojourn with Him here all of our life. Spend eternity with Him in heaven.
Amen.
What a blessed day that's going to be. Oh, I don't necessarily want to die tomorrow. I want to live with my wife and family and the church. But I'm ready to go home when He calls.
Amen.
I'm ready to meet Him. And I'm looking for that day when He'll fold up this whole tabernacle of clay, friend. This old tent will be folded up. Hallelujah. And we'll move in. We'll move into that tabernacle. Into a house. Not made with hands. Reserved in the heavens for us.
Amen.
It's reserved. Did you get a hold of that? I said it's reserved. And you didn't even have to make the reservations. He made them for you.
Right.
And by the way, you didn't even have to pay for the room. You didn't have to pay for the mansion. He paid for it for you. You're talking about going on a trip to a condo. Where we're going will make a condo look like an outhouse.
Amen.
Got a street of gold.
Amen.
Got a river of life that flows from the throne.
Amen.
It's got trees on both sides of the river that yield forth their fruit in their season, and the leaves are for the healing of the nations.
Amen.
I don't want to get carried away myself. Brother Herbert Williamson preached on heaven over there one night, and the deacons called him in and accused him of preaching heresy. They had never heard anybody preach anything like that before. Now it's just a joke. We all had. Well, Brother Herbert just didn't preach on heaven much. His blood and guts on the wall, friend. Let me ask you something tonight. Have you made that peace with God? Have you made that peace with God? Do you really know Him tonight? Or do you just know about Him? Let's stand together, please.